If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Listening to Leave Me from Jay Cobb's forthcoming solo EP, Everything Is Gonna Work Its Own Self Out. Jay, as you may recall or know, is part of New Grass outfit Fruition, though you wouldn't know he's in a string band if you listened to the new EP. It's full of electricity, big riffs, and more. We caught up with Jay working on a new Fruition record, which we'll get to, but our conversation started when I asked what inspired this solo effort.
Well, I guess it starts with kind of when Fruition first started. I also had another project that I was doing, and it was a rock band, and it had existed probably like a year before Fruition formed, which mm-hmm. was Fruition formed like 11 years ago. Right. And it was a straight like garage rock kind of band, mm-hmm. Three piece thing. Brad Parsons, actually, who's a singer songwriter, he he played drums in that band. And we were just like a straight up power trio rock and roll band. And that was kind of, I've always like played mostly rock and roll when I was growing up. I always played electric guitar. I didn't even start playing anything like folky or acoustic even until I moved to Portland and kind of got into a folky scene. So I guess it's, I've always had this like rock and roll heart, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
Like of everything I do is kind of, well, it's always about the song, but I love to rock. So right. So it's that other band, when it got kind of swallowed up because Fruition just kind of took over all my time, because we started taking off a little more. But yeah, I've always had the rock and roll demons in me, and I have to get them out. And it's funny because once the band, it was called The Villains and then later called The Rose City Thorns. That was my rock band. Mm-hmm. But once that band kind of like broke up, that's when like I started kind of slipping more rock and roll type of stuff into Fruition so I could get some of my rock and roll jollies off.
Mm-hmm.
And we've slowly gotten more rock just naturally because we've always kind of been like that anyway, but we just started as a string band, you know. But with the solo stuff, it's just kind of, it's my opportunity to do whatever I want, you know, and kind of show a side of myself that I don't necessarily get to show all that much in Fruition. So
These songs were recorded in 2018 in a yep. Tyler Thompson studio, if that's
yeah, in the basement of the house that we were both living at least for half of it, we were both living in that house, and then I moved out, but I just moved down the street, so I could come over all the time. And yeah, yep.
And Tyler plays drums, and Jeff from Fruition plays bass, so
yep.
It's not like these guys don't know who you are or what you're about or any of
exactly.
those things. It's just a departure from kind of what they're used to hearing from you, right?
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting because before I even actually moved to Portland, Tyler and I are from the same town in Idaho, Lewiston, Idaho. And before I moved to Portland and met Mimi or Kellen and any of that stuff, Tyler used to play in this band called the Clumsy Lovers. And I opened up a show for them once playing solo acoustic. And out in the street, he actually recorded a couple of my tunes, just acoustic. And then later, he's like, hey, I have this new roommate. His name's Jeff. And we recorded some drums and bass to your song. And this was, you know, probably at least a year before Fruition even was thought of.
Wow.
And the song that they did was a song that became, that was on the very first Fruition album we did. But, you know, we did it string style with Fruition and everything. But so the Jacob Anderson Band of Jeff Leonard, Tyler Thompson, and me existed before Fruition, which is really funny.
Portland's probably a city or a town, however you want to describe it, that has a lot of these little get-togethers and a lot of these little bands that form and play gigs around town, because Portland is such a rich environment for music these days, right?
True, yes. And really eclectic, like all different kinds of styles and approaches.
Right. It's not just a bunch of granola eating hippies running around.
Right. There's a big metal scene there actually. And, you know, electronica. And, it's the first place I ever heard noise rock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever heard any noise rock.
No, I try to limit my noise rock intake.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not much of a noise rocker myself, but there's some interesting sounds that come out of that. But yeah, Portland is just like a melting pot of ideas and musical approaches.
So Portlandia is not the most accurate.
No,
right.
It's not. It takes some of the worst things that happen in Portland and really embellishes them.
Right. Let's get back to Everything Is Gonna Work Its Own Self Out. Wow, could it be a longer title for a song or a record?
Yep.
It
could go longer.
It could go longer, for sure. So that's the that track is the title track from the record, and that's where we first hear this crunchy, irreverent guitar playing from you.
Right.
Are these songs that you had written before and didn't want to take to fruition? Are these songs that you specifically knew that you wanted to hold on? Because some of them are very introspective and some of them are quite personal. Right. I'm thinking of My Old Lover and Baby, yeah. I'm Yours. Those are very personal songs with personal relationships, I assume. And thus, maybe they don't fit in the fruition thing and you need a place to put them.
Yeah, there was... I just have lots and lots of songs that I want to release. I have probably right now the songs that I want to record and release, I probably have at least 150.
Wow.
So with fruition, it's always been a thing that when I come to the table for an album or something, I just kind of throw out a bunch of songs and go, you guys, what do you guys think will work? Mm-hmm. And a couple of those songs I did throw out at fruition, My Old Lover being one of them. But also I started getting into this mode of, you know what, I think I just want to do something on my own. So I guess I didn't specifically like hold off those songs for a solo release. But once I started getting on the tip of, you know what, I want to start doing some more of just my own thing and whatever that may be and be the freedom of that.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of allowed me to like piece together something that kind of flowed together in a different way that's more personal, like you said. So I wasn't exactly sitting on them, but at the same time I was ready to do something more personal to me. Yeah.
One of the interesting songs on the record is Little Glowing Screen, and you know, it's about smartphone addiction, and if my girls are listening right now, we are going to play that song for you.
Excellent.
But it's an interesting situation because you are on the road all the time, and probably the only thing that keeps you in contact with friends that aren't in the band and the goings on is that little glowing screen.
Right.
And so it's interesting to me that you, I guess, you know, it's one thing to use it once in a while, but we've become so addicted to our phones, right?
Oh man, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you guys put them away when you're like on tour, like in the bus, or you know, is everybody just sitting? I could just see you and Kellen and Mimi all sitting by yourselves, staring at your phones, or is that?
It's one of those things that you try and balance. Like, yeah. I especially try and call myself out on it, because I'll never forget when the first Apple iPhone started appearing around, I was terrified. I had a flip phone,
mm-hmm.
and I used to, you know, do the T9 text type of thing.
Yeah.
And I did that. I held out for years because I was scared of how instantly people would get those phones and just that's all they were doing. There's just suddenly you would go. I just noticed really quickly how you'd go out into any kind of public setting and people would just be staring at their screens other than like being present in the moment, right. You know? And then I finally got talked into getting one because basically to be more on top of my emails and things like that.
Right.
And boom, there I was, right in the same boat as everybody else, staring at the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So, the song is just about the push and pull of the dichotomy of, you know, having this tool that is an endless stream of information, but also how we use it for so much bullshit too.
Right.
So it's like one of those things that, but when we're on the road, I definitely try and balance it out. I read, I write,
yeah.
I work on, you know, playing my guitar in the van too. But yeah, we all stare at our phones from time to time. That's for sure.
The other thing too is that people are staring at you through their phones when you're performing. I mean, you probably look out to a sea of people recording, and that must also be like, guys, can you put that down and just live in the moment in our performance? I mean, that must be annoying too, right?
It can be. It definitely can be. But you know what? I don't actually really notice it all that much. It shows. People are pretty sparse with it. There's some people who are so highly addicted that they can't not put their phone up and, you know, take videos of stuff that they'll probably never watch again. But I think more oftentimes than not, people are pretty present at shows. So,
what makes for a better song? A lover's quarrel or just being in love and not quarreling?
Ooh, that's a loaded question, Ira. I don't know. Either one can produce really inspiring results. I think in the end, it's just about how honest you are.
Right.
Whether it's the heartbreak or your heart being full, just being honest and real about it is the most important thing in my mind and in my eyes. But it does seem that like the heartbreak songs tend to grab people a little more, maybe because like that's where people get really vulnerable and to heal and from all these painful things, it helps to know that there are other people out there feeling the same kind of thing.
An EP is usually the introduction to either more EPs or a full-length record. Realizing that you're busy with Fruition, and in fact you are recording right now, and I'm sure you'll be doing lots of tour dates coming up, do you even have time to think about another EP or even doing a full-length record?
I do. In fact, we, with Tyler and Jeff, there's already at least another handful of tracks that we've done recorded. We've recorded basics too, which is just like drums, mm-hmm. guitar, bass, maybe a vocal. So there's already stuff recorded that I'm going to work on, and there's some new stuff that I'll find some windows to just record. And I definitely, the plan is to put out another EP mm-hmm. and then press a vinyl where one side is one EP and one side is the next. So
makes sense, because this EP only tracks in at like 23 minutes or something, right?
Right, yeah. Seven songs, just barely 23 minutes. But that's like kind of the vibe I'm going to do with the next EP too, and kind of make a record out of the whole thing.
Baby, I'm Yours. Are you holding a martini glass while wearing a crushed velvet jacket when you...
I don't know. Is that what you saw?
Well, it's a little more standardy than, you know, some of the other songs on the record, you know? It's kind of like a throwback in terms of Sonic.
It's a rocker for sure.
Yeah.
It's just kind of all about, I guess that's a sex song. It's about sex.
Yeah. Well, we like that.
We're not
opposed to, yeah, the royal we. We're not opposed to that.
The royal we, yeah. Yeah. Of course. Sex positive.
Yes, I'm down. Well, that's great. What can you tell us about Fruit? Can you give us any insight into what you're putting down now in terms of Fruition stuff, or is that something?
Yeah, Fruition stuff. We are we just finished recording an EP that we haven't released yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we're kind of doing the same thing. That is the same kind of idea that I'm doing for my solo thing.
Right.
We're gonna release one EP. And then we're going to release another EP, and they have a theme together that I don't think I'll disclose, but
no, you shouldn't.
Then we'll press that as one record, the same kind of thing. So yeah, we got a lot of music coming up, and also we're doing this 45 series that people
right.
can read about online, of just like releasing singles. 'Cause we have a bunch of stuff that we want to just kind of start putting out, you know?
Yeah. Is it hard? Yeah. It must be hard to figure out. You have a great manager, but it must be hard to figure out how to put out music in this day and age with
it is.
All the
it's
nonsense
very difficult.
That's going on.
Like when it comes to, there's two sides to it, because it's really easy to put it out now,
right?
But it's hard to make money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the problem comes in. And you know, for the last few years, what we've always done is kind of put all of our eggs in one basket and do an album and really push the album as hard as we can and try and get as much momentum from that to keep going and building. But we've noticed that kind of, it's not as important these days, and not a lot of people are buying CDs. So it's like one of those things that we're like, well, how do we work around that? If people aren't buying CDs and we want to release more music, how do we do this instead of just putting all of our eggs in one basket for one album? That, like, maybe you release an album once a year kind of thing. We're like, okay, well, let's start just releasing singles, and then we can make collectible 45s to sell. Maybe people will buy those more, just as a collector's item.
Right.
And then just, like, you know, find ways, like, put out an EP and push that, and then put out another EP and push that, and then press a record of that kind of thing. So yeah, it's an interesting day and age for trying to be a full-time professional musician.
I guess the good news is that touring, and you guys, I'm looking at the tour schedule right now, are just so busy being on the road that hopefully you're making a living doing that, right?
Yeah, we are. That's pretty much the only way you can do it nowadays, is just by playing, you know? Gone are the days of, we're just going to be a studio band and not get out on the road and tour.
You're not the Beatles, you're saying?
No, we're not the Beatles. I fucking wish I could do that.
You have a date coming up at Red Rocks, and I can't remember. Have you played Red Rocks before?
Yes, we played Red Rocks three other times. This will be our fourth time.
And you're psyched, right?
We might be the record band for opening at Red Rocks. This will be our fourth time. So, yeah, we're really stoked, especially to do it with one of our favorite bands, the Wood Brothers. So,
for sure. Hey, man, continued success in both your solo pursuits and with Fruition. And say hi to Kellen for me.
Thank you, Ira. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
A wildly eye-opening take on an artist's life as they move forward in the music industry. Making music as an art and finding the right vehicle for your music is so important. It's great that J. Cobb Anderson has the opportunity to record solo material while being part of a bigger project that is Fruition. For more on J. Cobb Anderson, visit jcobbanderson.com. And for Fruition, visit fruition.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to the title track from Everything Is Gonna Work Its Own Self Out.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.